Welcome to The Daily Dose, where we are currently walking through an overview of the entire Bible. Join us today as we learn the story of Scripture and see God's redemptive plan through Christ from cover to cover. Let's listen to Matt Reister, Director of Christian Crusaders and the Cedar Falls Bible Conference.
Today we're going to be in Acts 7, 54 through 60. This is a passage where Stephen is martyred. You remember in our previous text, he just closed out a lengthy speech before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders who arrested him. And at the end of that speech, he called them stiff-necked and uncircumcised of heart. He said that they reject God's work just like their fathers rejected Moses. Not only do they resist the Holy Spirit, but they're guilty of killing God's Messiah, his son Jesus Christ, and of course, the Jewish leaders aren't happy with this language coming from Stephen, and so it escalates toward his execution. Before we get to that, I want to thank the family leader for being our Daily Dose devotion sponsor. You can learn more about the family leader in the announcements at the end of this devotion, and as always, thank you to the family leader for their support. Chapter 7, verse 54. Now when they, the Jewish leaders, heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at Stephen. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. There are some commentators who make a note that Jesus is seen by Stephen standing at the right hand of God, not sitting at the right hand of God, as we might be more familiar with from other texts. And Stephen said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they, the Jewish leaders, the Sanhedrin, cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out and wept with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, there are several things I want to point out in this text that shed light on it and make it an incredible text, even beyond what we get out of it reading at face value. The first thing that jumped out to me is an association that Luke, the author of Acts, seems to be making between the Jewish leaders and something we're familiar with, and Stephen and something else or someone else we're familiar with. In verse 54, it says, when the leaders were enraged, they ground their teeth at Stephen. I looked up the Greek word for that. I compared it to the Greek word for an account in the book of Luke where Jesus talks about a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's referring to hell. And that ground their teeth word that we just read in verse 54 has a similar root to the gnashing of teeth word back in Luke 13:28. Of course, Luke being the author of the Gospel of Luke and Luke being the author of Acts, it allows us to compare the words that he chooses and draw a possible connection that he wants us to see. And that connection might be, although he doesn't spell it out for us here, that the Jewish leaders who are grinding their teeth at Stephen are displaying a characteristic that is like the gnashing of teeth that people in hell are going to experience forever. In other words, these Jewish leaders are acting like people in hell. This is a hellish response. And apart from some miraculous intervention or repentance or turning from the path that they're on, spoiler alert, as we will see with Saul, who becomes Paul, maybe Luke is pointing out to us that that's exactly where these guys are headed. Conversely, there are three things that we see in Luke's account here regarding Stephen's words or actions that associate him very closely with things we know about Jesus Christ. In verse 56, Stephen says, "Behold, I see the heavens opened." Where else have we seen the heavens opened? Well, one place that you might remember that happening is at Jesus' baptism, when the heavens were opened and the Spirit of God descended like a dove. Also, in verse 59, as they were stoning Stephen, he calls out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Do you remember of the seven things that Jesus said while he was being executed? One of them was, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Similar language. And I'm sure that wasn't just a mistake or wasn't lost on Luke that he was using language that would make people think of Jesus. And finally, a third instance, in verse 60, where Jesus says in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." You remember another one of Jesus' seven final statements while he was on the cross. He said, "Father, forgive them," that is, his Roman executors, "for they do not know what they're doing." This sounds very similar. So while Luke is using language to associate the Jewish leaders with hellish activity, he's also using language and telling an account about Stephen that makes us quickly associate him with Jesus Christ. And the contrast couldn't be more stark. Before I wrap up, I want to point out a couple things that commentators who I read mentioned with regard to this whole scenario. The first one comes from Morgan, who said, "The fires in the olden days never made martyrs. They revealed them. No hurricane of persecution ever creates martyrs. It reveals a martyr. Stephen was a martyr before they stoned him." And what Morgan is saying here is that the heart of a martyr is something that's in place long before they ever become a martyr. Specifically, the heart of a martyr is characterized by somebody who is full of the Holy Spirit, as Luke points out in verse 55. That's one thing we got to be careful of here, not making Stephen too much of a hero, but making the Holy Spirit who created Stephen to be this bold, unafraid, willing to speak the truth, even though the consequences might be dire type of guy. This isn't a human thing that any of us can conjure up, but this is something that the Lord, specifically the Holy Spirit, works out in people who display those characteristics. And every one of us, since Pentecost, every one of us who's a believer has the Holy Spirit living in us, and he's at work to make us effective representatives of Christ in this life on this earth. Another thing pointed out in one of the notes that I read on the Enduring Word commentary is that Stephen's prayer, where he said, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them," Stephen could never have had any idea, nor could have Saul, who was standing there persecuting Christians and approving of the death of Stephen, they could never have known that God was going to answer Stephen's prayer by bringing Saul to faith so that, in fact, his sin would be forgiven, it would not be held against him. And we'll talk more about that in our next devotion. Thanks for tuning in and have a great day.
This is The Daily Dose, a podcast of Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. Please subscribe on Apple, Google, or Spotify podcasts, or download the free Christian Crusaders app and share with a friend. Also, prayerfully consider supporting our ministry at ChristianCrusaders.org, where you can find our weekly 30-minute radio broadcast airing on stations around the world since 1936, and where you can listen to our Conversations podcast featuring inspiring interviews with interesting Christians. Special thanks to our Daily Dose sponsor, The Family Leader. God designed three social institutions, the family, the church, and government. At The Family Leader, they are bringing all three together, honoring God and blessing our neighbors. Learn how and join them at thefamilyleader.com. We also want to highlight another special ministry partner, the Cedar Falls Bible Conference. Check out conference videos and schedule of events online at cedarfallsbibleconference.com. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you.